mortgage rates are giving sales a boost while home prices remain high across most major metropolitan areas. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
New information about the owner of the Super Bowl-winning Patriots who is in trouble with the law over two visits to a massage parlor. USA Radio Network's Robin Walensky has more details.
News about New England Patriots owner Bob Kraft, who is facing two counts of soliciting a prostitute on his two visits to a massage parlor in Jupiter, Florida. Turns out Kraft, 77 years old, at the Orchards of Asia Day Spa, the same day his team competes in the AFC Championship game in January. Kraft captured on surveillance video January 19th and 20th.
After announcing in October that his leukemia had come back and he would be taking a leave of absence from the WWE, WWE champion Roman Reigns announced that his leukemia is in remission. He was back in the squared circle on Monday night and joins ABC's Good Morning America to discuss what it was like to be back in front of all those fans.
It was amazing. You know, this journey is not going to be complete until I get to step foot back in that ring, you know, and I get to address my fans. And they were just so gentle with me and just so gracious, and they just sent so much love. And I just wanted everybody to know, and I was so nervous last night.
Really?
So nervous. And I don't even get nervous. I'm fine right now. I'm main events of WrestleMania, all good. But last night, I think because it was just so close to the vest that it just really, you know, the perfectionist came out in me. The OCD came out.
Find us on Facebook at USA Radio. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! We're going to be looking at the border today. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force Vet Josh Lang. What's going on, Josh?
There's nothing in the world like a Diddy move, Colonel. There are boxes everywhere, and it's kind of like hunting for treasure. Oh, look, there's a microphone. Might need that for the show. Better put that in a place that I'll remember.
Thanks, Josh. And we're going to hear from Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby as he shares some warrant wisdom. And Marine Vet Skip Coriel is smirking. What's up, Skip?
Well, I'm always smirking.
Well,
but
yeah.
Hey, what, 20-some days till spring? And I ordered some garden seeds just a few days ago.
You are a true believer in Punxsutawney Phil.
Well, I am an optimist. And someday I'm going to shoot Punxsutawney Phil, just so that you know. It's probably just a misdemeanor, but we'll just say he had that one coming.
You know, there's probably a lot of people that think that. Well, here's what we have for you today. A news and comment by the Colonel. I'm going to suggest that our nation should have a more nationalist focus rather than the globalist one we have now. It'll save us money and lives. Our nation's southern border has been at a crisis point, and it's more so now. I believe that we must act decisively now while we still can. We'll discuss it with Congressman and retired Marine Lieutenant General Jack Bergman. Then we'll meet John Irwin and Peter Rupert, who founded the Armed Forces Thanksgiving event. It's a program that every community in our nation can duplicate. And we'll review the movie of the month with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. This month's movie, The Pledge of Allegiance, is my personal favorite.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
Troops, you know that on each show we honor a deceased military person. Not the superstars, but the average soldier, sailor, marine, airman, or coastie. They don't have to have served in combat, but must have served honorably, active duty, guard, or reserves. I have some, but I need more vets to honor. To nominate someone, send me about 250 words summarizing his or her service, and I'll read it on the show. Send it to me, Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. We welcome your input to the show. Send us your ideas and comments on other things through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or do it on Facebook. And now it's time for news and comment by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom, and we'll start with the news. Lead out, Josh.
A new poll of military families living in base housing found that over half of respondents said they had negative experiences living in privately managed housing, and some reported living in dangerous living conditions that included mold, lead paint, faulty wiring, poor water quality, and pestilence such as mice and squirrels. The Nonprofit Military Family Advisory Network, or MFAN, conducted an online survey from January 30 to February 6 to understand the scope of problems in military homes, following reports last year of issues with the private companies that manage base housing, as well as an extensive investigation by Reuters last August on lead contamination in Army housing. Of the over 14,000 respondents who now live in privately managed military housing or have resided in such homes in the past 3 years, nearly 56% said they had negative or very negative experiences with their houses. The problems were not confined to a single company. In fact, military families cited 35 different companies in their responses. The survey results were released hours before Senate Armed Services subcommittees held a joint hearing on problems at privatized military housing with family members, Defense Department officials, and leadership from five private companies testifying. According to the survey, families reported illnesses with lifelong implications, such as respiratory disease and lead poisoning, as a result of living in poor conditions. The respondents also noted that their requests for remediation or condition reports often were denied and ignored, and that military commanders moved to silence the complaints. In the executive summary of the survey results, MFAN officials wrote that they were surprised by the sheer number of respondents to the questionnaire and called the dissatisfaction rate alarming. The summary noted, quote, "As we continue our qualitative analysis, we will learn much more about their experiences and identify geographic hotspots for issue areas," end quote.
When I was on active duty and my family lived in on-base housing, the homes were owned and managed by the base and were in good condition. Our troops and their families deserve much better than this. I hope our new Secretary of Defense is going to be on top of this one.
A 132-foot-long self-driving ship made history by traveling from San Diego to Hawaii's Pearl Harbor and back again without sailors aboard to guide its way. The Sea Hunter, an autonomous trimaran developed for submarine hunting and countermine missions, made that multi-thousand-mile trip last month. Crew members from an escort vessel boarded the Sea Hunter for short durations to check electrical and propulsion systems, according to a press release from Leidos, a science and technology company that designed and built the Sea Hunter. For most of the voyage, though, the ship was completely unmanned. The recent long-range mission is the first of its kind and demonstrates to our Navy that autonomy technology is ready to move from the developmental and experimental stages to advanced mission testing. So says Jerry Fasano, the defense group president at Leidos. The Office of Naval Research, which led the test transit to and from Hawaii, declined a request for interview, citing operational security. A Leidos maritime spokesman said the idea isn't to replace ships with vehicles like Sea Hunter, but to free up personnel aboard bigger vessels to take on more complex tasks. Autonomous vehicles will likely focus on the dull, dirty, or dangerous mission sets that could operate around the world's oceans. For example, an autonomous vessel can conduct hydrographic survey missions, freeing manned ships to accomplish other missions. When the Navy christened the Sea Hunter in 2016, officials said it could change the nature of U.S. maritime operations. It uses a suite of navigation tools and automated lookouts that allow it to safely sail near other vessels in any weather or traffic conditions during the day or night.
Wow, that makes sense, and I'm glad it works. I wonder what'll be next.
A man was shot and killed at a Texas Navy base earlier this month. Emergency personnel responded to a security incident at Naval Air Station Corpus Christi around 7:30 a.m. when the man attempted to speed past and evade security at the air station's north gate. The driver crashed into a barrier and then exited his vehicle when it caught fire. He then charged security force personnel, who fired shots in response. According to a news release, quote, the individual was shot and received medical treatment, but was later pronounced deceased, end quote. The air station has since resumed normal operations, and there is no security threat to those on or near the base, according to a spokesman for Navy Region Southeast.
It seems our nation is getting more and more dangerous. I'm glad the Navy personnel were able to defend themselves and the base from this person, whatever his motivation. This kind of situation is one reason I go armed most of the time.
Our Army will soon field more pocket-sized drones to its squads and platoons under a recent $39.6 million contract awarded to FLIR Systems, Inc. to support small unit reconnaissance efforts. The FLIR Black Hornet Personal Reconnaissance System, or PRS, resembles a tiny helicopter and flies almost silently. Soldiers can use the onboard camera to look around corners in urban areas or recon unfamiliar terrain. PRS drones delivered under this contract will support platoon and small unit level surveillance and reconnaissance capabilities as part of the Soldier Borne Sensor, or SBS, program, according to a recent FLIR press release. The Army awarded the first SBS phase contract to FLIR for an initial batch of Black Hornets in June. This latest contract will expand the use of the Black Hornet for the SBS effort.
And that's the news. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll discuss the situation on our southern border with Congressman Jack Bergman. Eddie's troops, take a break. As a leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries around the world, Spartan Nash is proud to work with DECA to offer high-quality products, honest value, and consistency you can trust.
Home-based products cover all of your pantry essentials, from tissue paper to reusable containers, offering you quality you expect and savings you deserve.
Learn more at SpartanNash.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. Look like sheep and you'll be eaten by wolves. According to interviews done with armed robbers, you are far more likely to be targeted by criminals if you look weak and helpless. Carry yourself with pride and military bearing, because many criminals can spot a soft target with one glance. Stay alert and aware of your surroundings. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
Experts agree, for retirement success, you must have enough income. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we utilize strategies that pay. By performing an asset reset, we reposition portfolios built around income. If you're actively saving, have $150,000 with big plans for more, and want to learn how to generate income for retirement,
call 866-913-1234, 866-913-1234, to speak to an income specialist, 866-913-1234.
To learn how to transform your risky Wall Street portfolio into sustained retirement income,
call 866-913-1234.
Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisory firm. Sound Income Strategies, powered by the Retirement Income Store.
Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to Frontlines of Freedom all across America. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Honor and Remember. Our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. While it didn't happen at first, lately there's been a fair amount of criticism of the President's national security strategy by retired generals and admirals. For starters, please understand that since World War II, America has pretty much been continuously at war. There have been at least 25 wars in which we've participated since World War II. Call them what you will, but to a young private or sergeant, war is war. Some of these wars have been repeats, so the number approaches 30, and many so-called small conflicts. Again, tell that to a young troop under fire. But several have been major, including Korea, Vietnam, the first Gulf War, Iraq, and Afghanistan. And if you add CIA ops, where the military has been surreptitiously involved, the total is closer to 40. In just over 70 years, we've been actively engaged in nearly 40 overseas wars where our service members have been engaged and our nation's wealth has been expended. That's more than one war every 2 years. Do we really have that many enemies? What's going on here? And the cost of these wars has been in multiples of trillions of dollars. Dollars that might otherwise have been put into better future military readiness, infrastructure, lower taxes, social programs, or into a balanced budget. In sum, the near-continuous wars have been maiming and killing our youth and draining our wealth pretty much continuously since World War II. And for all this, we have an indescribable $21 trillion national debt. And Americans are riding into space on Russian rockets and returning to Earth in Kazakhstan? We sure come a long way since being able to land astronauts on the moon in 1969 and bringing space shuttles home to land at Cape Kennedy. Meanwhile, we have military missions in over 70 countries in the world. That's over a third of all the countries on Earth. In all of this, one thing is 100% for sure. All of our senior military leaders were born and raised with a deployed expeditionary conflict mindset, where America's rightful role was as the world's policeman. All were raised in the globalist belief that in the current world it was America's responsibility, indeed duty, to police the planet and make everything safe for democracy. Looking back at all this sort of resembles what the Roman generals were taught to do during the Roman Empire. Go out into the vast empire and establish Roman rule and law, make friends and allies, and when you run into problems, bring the military force to bear to solve the problems. That's what the Romans did, and we've been doing pretty much the same thing for 70-plus years. When a retired senior officer argues that President Trump is an inward-looking nationalist and is turning away from our valued international friends and allies, these leaders do so from the perspective of globalists. That's who they are. That's what they know. They have international colleagues, and they're invested with the theory that by bringing influence and military power to bear worldwide, our so-called global friends will help us police the world. Sounds great. But after all the money and blood, has it worked? Does it work? When President Trump says that the globalist strategy is bankrupting America while killing and maiming our youth, many of the retired brass are repulsed because most firmly believe in an expeditionary globalist role for America. Trump just doesn't understand, they say. Well, just maybe President Trump understands much more than he will admit. It's time for America to rethink our globalist military strategy. While we do have some crucial allies that we must stick with, we need to have an America First nationalist reawakening, bringing many of our troops home and reinvest in our country while building military readiness for the future. We've got to stop bleeding our youth and bankrupting our budget. Last, we shouldn't believe everything the retired brass tells us. Indeed, they are great patriots, but they all have their own agendas. And please don't forget that Lincoln properly fired McClellan and Truman properly fired MacArthur, both generals who the public initially thought could do no wrong. And, of course, Obama relieved General Mattis from CENTCOM and fired Generals McKiernan and McChrystal from their commands in Afghanistan. Presidents hire and fire senior military leaders. It's the way things work in our democracy. President Trump can and should do the same when his generals and admirals do not align with his strategic perspectives. Americans elected President Trump to serve as our commander-in-chief. They didn't vote for some howling retired guy who was fired by a previous president. That said, the world does now see us as the world cop. We must be careful as we step down from that role, as nature abhors a vacuum, and China and Russia, for two, are anxious to step into that role. But we should ask why we have 30,000 troops in Germany, Europe's most wealthy nation, as a truly dysfunctional military? It is time to put America first and be primarily nationalists, not primarily globalists. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
There's a fantastic story of a pilot who may have stolen a military jet and given it to the Soviets. It was May 9, 1957, that Lieutenant David Steves was given a mission to fly a new training jet, a Lockheed T-33, from Hamilton Air Force Base in California to Craig Air Force Base in Alabama. The plane was lost from radar, and the Air Force couldn't find the missing pilot or the plane. The military declared Steves dead, and that was that. Well, at least until 54 days later, when Steves emerged from the Sierra, having been found badly malnourished and still limping badly on swollen ankles. The story that Steves told was frankly amazing. He said that after landing, estimated at about 12,000 feet, he somehow managed to descend the complex snowy landscape and keep from freezing or dying in a fall. After 20 days, Steves told investigators he stumbled upon an abandoned Ranger's cabin, which of course gave him shelter and a bit of food. He even supplemented the food by fishing, and at one point killed a deer with his service revolver. Steves' stories attract attention of Hollywood and New York. The story was optioned to a studio, and Steves was given a lucrative book deal. The state of affairs didn't last long, however. His would-be publisher soon began focusing on discrepancies in Steves' story and canceled his book deal. And when the wreckage of the T-33 couldn't be found, the Air Force began asking questions, too. What had actually happened, and why couldn't the T-33 be found? Theory number one was that Steves had sold the top-secret plane to the Soviets, who took delivery of it in Mexico, and secretly flying him back to the supposed scene of the crash. Steves then emerged and play-acted the rest. The plane was never found because there was no airplane to be found, and Steves' seemingly unbelievable story of survival really was so hard to fathom because it really wasn't possible. Theory number two was that Steves parachuted from his plane and landed in the wilderness in the Sierras. The plane was lost in the vast wilderness of the mountains. The truth came in 1978 when Boy Scouts hiking in Kings Canyon National Park stumbled upon what turned out to be the canopy with matching serial numbers of Steves' T-33. The mystery was solved. In a sense, it was discovered that there was actually no mystery at all. Everything had apparently happened just as Steve has said it did. Unfortunately, that was no solace for the young officer, who was shadowed by doubts and rumor. He requested dismissal from the Air Force, and his wife divorced him and took the kids. Steves would die just a few years later in 1965 in Boise, Idaho, in a crash of a modest-eyed Stinson, the wreckage, which of course was found right away. This is just one of those crazy military stories that of course will continue to be debated. What really happened? I don't think we're ever going to really know. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby, and this is just another military crazy story. Back to you, Colonel.
Thank you, Roland. I really appreciate and enjoy your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll share the crisis on our southern border with Congressman and retired Marine General Jack Bergman. Then we'll learn about the amazing event, Armed Forces Thanksgiving. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You are standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for planks. Let's do a minute each and do 10, then stand at ease.
From executive producers Tim Tebow and Robbie Tebow comes Run the Race.
This came for you in the mail today. Congrats. You're on somebody's radar, son.
Two brothers share an unbreakable bond.
I don't want to end up like Dad.
I'm going to get that scholarship. I'm going to get us out of here.
But life's unexpected adversities put their future in question.
It's all part of his plan, right?
You're not the first person to wrestle with his faith.
Trust him. He's going to meet you wherever you're at.
Really? It's that simple?
When you lose your way.
I know life can be confusing. It's full of ups and downs.
Why is this so hard?
How do you find the strength to hold on to hope?
I believe in the plan. I believe in you. You're going to come with me wherever I go.
God does love you. He loves you like crazy.
Run the Race. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Now playing. For tickets and showtimes, go to RunTheRaceMovie.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Hundreds of people are gathering outside a luxury hotel in Hanoi, Vietnam, to get a glimpse of President Trump. The president landed in Vietnam's capital ahead of his second summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. As far as some goals for the summit, Republican Congressman from Florida Mike Waltz tells Fox News,
I am in a rush for the North Koreans to come to the table with something very concrete, including a full accounting of their program. And that's what I want to see coming out of this summit.
Michael Cohen is testifying behind closed doors to a Senate Intelligence Committee. This is the first of three hearings. Republican Senator from Louisiana John Kennedy on Cohen's testimony.
Does not impress Mr. Cohen. He lied to us once. Anything he said, I think that the American people need to be very, very skeptical.
This is USA Radio News.
Step up your style with some of our best savings on quality flooring at Lumber Liquidators. Save 15% on all premium Bellawood hardwood floors from only $3.99 a square foot. Or save 15% on our best bamboo Morningstar Ultra. And let our professional installation team do the work for you. Plus, special financing helps make your tax refund go even further. Visit LumberLiquidators.com for a store near you. Lumber Liquidators. Beautiful floors for less.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil Synthetics. Terms apply.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome back to the show Congressman and retired Marine Lieutenant General Jack Bergman. Jack represents northern Michigan on the northern border of our nation, so we know something about borders. Welcome back to the show, Jack, or maybe I should say welcome aboard since you're a Marine.
Well, you know, I'd salute the stern colors and salute the officer of the deck if I was walking aboard a ship, Denny, but always great to be back with a fellow veteran.
I agree. I appreciate your joining us. Jack, start by giving our listeners a quick review of your military service in the Marines and your time in Congress.
Okay, well, I spent a total of 40, that would be 40 years, wearing a Marine uniform starting in the late 60s. Flight school, helicopters, Vietnam, came back. Been a few years, got off active duty, I stayed in the reserves, flew all sorts of different aircraft, and then in the higher leadership positions, you know, if you're successful, you get to fly a desk. I finished, you know, in 2009 after achieving the rank of lieutenant general and commanded the largest force-level organization in the entire Marine Corps, Marine Corps Forces Reserve, and as a side note, the second hat I wore was Marine Corps Forces North, which meant Northern Command, which included all the southern and northern borders.
Yes, so Northern Command, by my standards, since I was last involved in this sort of stuff 35 years ago, is a new command. But yes, it's involved with everything. So you've been there, done that from a lot of different directions. Our topic is the southern border. And our border security has been a problem for generations. I mean, all the presidents of the last 30 years have said that there's a problem there. However, they said it before the movement of illegal aliens into our nation started moving in caravans. So that's a challenge. One of the things I know, because I grew up in Los Angeles, sex trafficking, drug smuggling, terrorists, violent criminals, diseases that we haven't had to deal with. There's so many things that come across when you're dealing with these kinds of people. And the last 6 months or so, these caravans have been hitting everywhere. Jack, from my perspective, that has taken a very bad problem and made it a crisis. Do you agree with that?
Well, you know, I do. In fact, when you talk to any of us, especially Army and Marine Corps, about securing a perimeter or securing a border, which is a perimeter, you don't just secure parts of it, you secure the whole of it. And the reason you do that is to protect, in the case of the military, protect our soldiers, our Marines in the field, or even in, if you will, in garrison. When you look at it from the national security side, we are protecting our citizens, all of our citizens, from illicit activities, whether they be drug smuggling, human trafficking, terrorists who have chosen a porous border through which to infiltrate, you know, our country. You don't see too many people trying to break out of America. They're
good,
all
good point.
You know, and we, unfortunately, in the world in which we live, have become a target for bad people. And it's up to whether it's the police, whether it's the Border Patrol, whether it's the military, working together with our counterparts on the southern border in Mexico, whether it's other counterparts down in the southern Caribbean or all through Central America. There are coalitions of good countries like ours doing everything they can to make the borders secure.
Well, certainly, if you look at the money that we have spent taking care of illegal aliens, whether it's suddenly having to teach in elementary and high schools multiple languages, whether it's disease prevention, whether it's hospitalization, whether it's jails, we spend a whole lot more than our national debt just taking care of illegal aliens in this country, and we have been doing this for decades.
Well, we have, and, you know, we are a country of immigrants. My grandparents came from Sweden and Finland, and, you know, it's so many of all of us, our ancestors came from other countries, and they came here for two reasons. Number one, they were looking for an opportunity to work, to raise their family. They were, in some cases, they were persecuted in other parts of the world. So we are a welcoming country, but when we were welcoming, we welcomed them with policies, procedures, how to come into the country, how to sign into the country. When the ships came into Ellis Island and people registered coming in, you just don't waltz in. So the understanding of what a secure border is and how it benefits not only the citizens of our country who are here, but really benefits those who want to come here legally and seek some level of status and to abide by the policies and procedures that we already have in place.
Very, very true. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing the crisis on our southern border with Congressman Jack Bergman. Jack, my mother's parents were German Jews who immigrated from Germany about 1900, and they did it legally. My father's mother was an Irish peasant girl who immigrated about the same time from Ireland. They came, but they came legally, and they came to be Americans, not to make America the country they just came from. That's more of a philosophical issue because I think our topic is this is dangerous for America. We have to stop this invasion. And I believe it is an invasion because somebody's funding this. These people just didn't all get together and decide to take a hike for a couple of miles. And who is that somebody?
That's a good question. And that's, you know, one of the things that you really never know completely in life is who's behind the curtain, if you will. But it's important that we as a country and we through our judicial system and how we vet people who are coming in, get to the bottom line and call it out for what it is. That if there are bad people trying to use undue influence on, let's say, caravans of thousands of people coming up from Central America and up through Mexico. We have to accept that fact that it's happening and deal with it very directly. And it's, we can't just sugarcoat it and wish it away. That's not an option in this case.
No, clearly it's not, given the fact that in legal immigration, and I'm totally in favor of legal immigration, we do look at things like, are you drug smuggler? Are you in human trafficking? Are you bearing diseases that we, are you coming here to contribute to our society or to take from it? And I have no problem helping refugees who don't have anything particularly to offer at the moment, but they have to come legally. I don't understand people who think legal is okay. I wonder if they lock their doors at night or if somebody could just wander in and sit down in the living room and say, I'm living here now, and they'd be cool with it.
We know there have been statements made about the immorality of walls by some of our elected leadership, and we know that is not true, but we have to get beyond any partisan politics here and make sure that we do the best for all of our American citizens, and that means enforcing the policies and procedures that we already have in place in our immigration system. We have parts of the good people who come here as guest workers. They're not interested in becoming citizens of the United States. They're happy being a citizen of whatever country they come from. They want to come here, work for a year or two or maybe less or maybe a little bit more. And our guest worker programs, they're in bad shape and need of updating to reflect the current needs of the country. Because you look around the entire country, you're going to have help wanted signs all over the country because the economy is so good. Employment or unemployment is at record lows. So we need good people to come to the United States, work, be able to go back to their country, spend some time, come back and work. That's just part of a system. It's not immigration, because immigration means you're seeking some kind of permanent status. So too many times people get confused with the term immigration and guest worker programs because they're two totally different things.
They are indeed, and there's a lot more to discuss on the border crisis, and the general's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for push-ups. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do every day. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back.
Now is the time, and wherever you are is the place. The Citadel makes it easier to earn your degree by offering master's degrees, graduate certificates, and undergraduate degree completion programs that are entirely online. These programs are convenient for working professionals and those serving in the U.S. military. Continuing the Citadel's legacy of academic excellence, classes are held to the same high standards that consistently name the Citadel the number one master's granting public college in the South. The Citadel, online, on your time. Visit citadel.edu/online.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Congressman and retired Marine General Jack Bergman about the real crisis on our southern border. Jack, one of the things that's going on our southern border that affects all of us is the fact that we have our military down there. When I say all of us, I mean military and veterans. We've got our National Guard troops down there. There are a lot of them down there, and I think they're doing a good job, but they're not exactly engaged in combat of any kind, are they?
No, they're doing what we would call basic kind of logistics services, humanitarian aid types of things. They're not engaged in any type of aggressive activities that involve firearms or explosives or, you know, combat or things like that. They're there to do the humanitarian assistance and the organizational side of things that we do. And the military does that all over the world on almost a daily basis. You pick somewhere in the world that's had a disaster, and chances are you're going to see some United States military there helping out to make sure that the victims of a disaster get the care and the feeding and the relief that they need.
And it's great that we can do that. That's certainly not our primary mission, but it is one of our secondary missions, and we do it well. And I think we're doing it well in support of the Border Patrol folks along that border. And I hope that we continue to provide them that support as long as they need it.
Well, one of the things that is a benefit for the military units that are down there, it gives them a chance to work on everything from unit training to individual training to unit cohesion, so that when we do need them in a more aggressive environment, their readiness is up to par and they're ready to go to a real fight. That's why this is so important to utilize that this time to train, if you will.
You know, that's a good point. The more time the team spends together doing things, the stronger a team they become. That doesn't take a PhD to figure that one out, does it?
No, and absolutely. And sometimes it'll be active component forces down there. Sometimes it'll be reservists. Sometimes it'll be National Guardsmen. But it all goes into the training and readiness fact and the ability of those units.
It does. Our nation spends a huge amount of money on illegal aliens. Some of them get better benefits than retired good American citizens. That's a separate issue that Congress and our government's got to deal with. And you brought up before the issue of guest workers. That's legal. It's designed to make things work for everybody. And when it's working, it does work for everybody. But illegals coming across our border, you know, for many years, it was no big deal. They come across to do some work and usually harvesting or whatever and go back. But certainly since we've got convoys of, they came to be guest workers, whether they came legally or not. But convoys of people, hundreds and thousands of people coming who plan to just settle here and just let us take care of them while they do whatever or nothing, that's nonsense for us to permit that to happen, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, you know, again, when our ancestors came here, they were looking for opportunity. They wanted to become Americans, be part of our system where you worked hard, you paid into the system. Nothing was free. Absolutely nothing was free, and we know that we are all better people when we earn our keep and when the satisfaction of a job well done. And I'm part of the 116th Congress, and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that, number one, our citizens are safe and secure. That means securing the borders and knowing who's coming across. And number two, eliminating the unnecessary and wasteful free benefits that have built up over time. It is the wrong thing to do, and I'm going to be part of the solution there to not only trim that, but to do everything I can to eliminate it.
To make an understatement, Jack, I absolutely, one, I expected that you would be like that. I'm delighted that you are, and I hope you can get a lot of support for that. That isn't going to be easy, I don't think, but it has to be done. But in the meanwhile, we have to protect our nation.
Well, we do. That's the number one responsibility of the President of the United States, is to keep our citizens safe and secure. And as much as we'd like to think that all of the people coming across the border, whether it be legally or illegally, but especially illegally, are just here for a freebie. There are some what I would call non-nation state actors, bad guys, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, you name it, who try to infiltrate their people through our porous borders. It may not be a lot, but it didn't take very many people to pull off 9/11, and they were here legally. So when you think about the world in which we live today, we have even a greater security responsibility to know who's in our country and why they're here.
Yes, sir. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're talking about the invasion along our southern border with retired Marine General Jack Bergman. Jack, I am concerned that that wall needs to get up, and I can see all the delay. But even if it were suddenly approved now, if all the opponents stopped, that wall isn't going to be up tomorrow. It's not going to be up at the end of this year. It's going to take some doing. So I am really concerned that however we do it, we get through this nonsense through the courts and get this thing done. And the only thing I know to do is to pay attention to what's going on and be in communication with my elected officials. Is that a good solution for our listeners?
Well, it is. We get phone calls every day in our offices. And I'd say if we got 10 phone calls a day, 8 of them are in support of building the wall. You know, and that's 80%. And when you're doing policy or where you're trying to make good decisions, if you're getting an 80% solution, you're doing pretty darn good. And the support across the country, but especially in my district, in the 1st District of Michigan, we got a lot of international border in our district. We border Canada. You know, but the point is, even when people say, yeah, but Canada's a friend, they are a friend, but there are bad people who try to use the Canadian border to get across into our country as well. So it's not just the southern border we have to look at. We have to look at our northern-southern border, all of our ports of entry, because most of the illegal goods come right through ports of entry. So there's already a wall. There's already a gate there. So the vigilance that we must show continually is never-ending. And so people who think it's just a one-and-done, you build a wall and it's over. No. Now it's a matter of surveilling the entire area around it, making sure that goods are inspected, making sure that people are coming, they have the proper paperwork. It's all part of an entire system. You just can't pick and choose bits and pieces and what you like and what you don't.
Yes, sir. So, listeners, how about setting a goal for yourself of every week, call, email, text your congressperson and your two U.S. senators every week until the wall situation is fully resolved. We are the people. They work for us, and they can't read minds, so we got to tell them what we want and do it regularly. Jack, what would you like our listeners to take from our conversation today? What couple of points would you like them to walk off with?
Well, number one, I'd like them to know, first of all, what I didn't do on the front end was tell them that on my congressional committees, now on Armed Services as well as Veterans Affairs. So I will be involved during my entire time in Congress with those young men and women from the time they begin to serve till decades later when their service on this earth has ended, as part of the Veterans Administration system. But the point is that what I want the listeners to take away is you have today Democrats and Republicans in the Congress, in the House of Representatives specifically, where I work, working together to solve these kinds of issues. Unfortunately, don't believe everything you hear in the media about us not working together, because we are. Number two, just know that your representatives work for you, and the more you communicate with them and dialogue with them, the better the outcome is going to be. We've got the greatest country in the world, but we have to fight every day and agree to disagree to make our country as great as it's always been, because we are the land of the free, because we are the home of not only the brave, but the vigilant.
Jack, well said. Thank you very much for taking time to join us today and to share your thoughts. Thank you for your service to our nation back in uniform. Thank you for your service to our nation now. I appreciate you, my friend.
Well, thanks, Danny. It's always great to be on the line with a fellow Vietnam vet, and thank you for your service and what you do for all your listeners.
Well, here's our Stand Tall Troop report. This is when we find an outstanding performance of duty, and today we get to honor two fine troops. An Army Ranger and a Civil Affairs Specialist took first place in the 2018 Best Warrior competition, earning recognition as the Army's Soldier and Noncommissioned Officer of the Year. Corporal Matthew Hagensick of the 3rd Battalion, 75th Ranger Regiment, was recognized as the Best Soldier during the annual Association of the United States Army meeting in Washington. Sergeant First Class Sean Acosta, assigned to the John F. Kennedy Special Warfare Center and School, was named the top NCO. The best warrior competition included 11 soldiers and 11 NCOs representing 11 commands from across the Army. The finalists were selected after a series of qualification rounds during the past year. During a six-day competition, the competitors tested their knowledge, skills, and abilities by conquering urban warfare simulations and demonstrating critical thinking, as well as undergoing formal board interviews, physical fitness challenges, written exams, and other tests. So stand tall, Sergeant First Class Acosta and Corporal Hagensick. Frontlines of Freedom and all of our nation's patriots salute you. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour discussing the amazing event, Armed Forces Thanksgiving. Then we'll review the movie of the month. And, of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America Report. This is Colonel Danny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time to run. Run a couple of miles of wind sprints outside or on a machine if you live in snow like I do. Then grab some protein and rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face. Send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.
Staying at a hotel is not the same thing as staying at the Fisher House.
The Fisher House, I know, is a huge part of land recovery.
For somebody like my husband, for them to know that their family members are being taken care of, that's a huge burden off of them, so they can concentrate on their therapies.
Just having that assurance that no matter what, as long as we were there for Anson, that someone would be there to take care of us. It took so much weight off our shoulders.
How can you help? Go to fisherhouse.org.
Some people would call him a loser. He ran for state office. He was beaten. He started a business. He failed. He ran for Congress. He lost. He was nominated for vice president. He lost again. But he knew only those who never tried are the real losers. And Abraham Lincoln was no loser. Persistence. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is in Vietnam preparing for his second summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. The summit is meant to help work towards the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. The summit is a follow-up from a previous meeting in Singapore last June. Megan Ortegas is a former State Department official. She shares what she believes will come out of this meeting.
I think that we're going to see a number of incremental steps happen here. I really see this as a trust-building summit. I don't think that you're going to see some sort of major, you know, end of nuclear weapons throughout the world.
A federal judge is allowing AT&T's merger with Time Warner to proceed. The judge's ruling Tuesday ends a long merger process. Last June, a U.S. District Court judge ruled the $85.4 billion bid was legal and allowed to proceed. But the Department of Justice appealed the ruling in July, saying the merger would reduce competition and lead to higher consumer prices. This is USA Radio News.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance, just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil Synthetics. Terms apply.
Let's have a chat about your debit card, the card you use for the things you buy every day. What if you could get cash back every time you bought those things?
Well, now you can. Introducing Discover Cashback Debit. Just open a Discover bank account and start earning 1% cash back on up to $3,000 in debit card purchases every month automatically. Plus, there are no monthly fees or minimum balances. Now you can get cash back on the way you like to pay. Open a Discover bank account and get the debit card with cash back. Go to discoverbank.com/debit. Limitations apply. Excludes money market accounts. Discover Bank member FDIC.
The State Department reports additional sanctions have been imposed on Venezuelan officials. USA Radio Network's John Clemens reports.
The latest economic sanctions have been imposed against four governors of what the State Department describes as those associated with the illegitimate Maduro regime. Speaking in Bogota, Colombia, Vice President Mike Pence says the economic sanctions will continue.
The United States has imposed sanctions on more than 50 top officials, as well as on Venezuela's state-owned oil company, PDVSA, to stop Maduro's cronies from enriching themselves at the expense of the Venezuelan people.
I'm John Clemens.
The American Red Cross is teaming up with HBO in hopes of getting more people to donate blood. The Red Cross is in need of blood following a series of winter storms across the United States, which forced cancellations of hundreds of blood drive collections. They're partnering with HBO for a promotional deal playing on the final season of Game of Thrones. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, Charlie Jones here. The new year is finally upon us, and to make 2019 a better year, it all starts with a good night's rest. And right now, MyPillow's best offer ever has been extended. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the end of the year special for the lowest price MyPillow has ever offered for their four-pack, including free shipping. And their 60-day money-back guarantee has been extended through March 1st. Best price ever, free shipping, extended money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com. Click on the end of the year special to get two premium MyPillows and two go-anywhere pillows for their lowest price ever. And be sure to use my promo code USA.
Sherry Mercadona was sexually assaulted in her hotel room while traveling for work back in 2014. According to court documents, her assailant got her room key from the hotel staff without any security checks. Mercadona tells CBS This Morning that she felt safe staying at her hotel and in her surroundings due to the hotel brand.
You walk in and you see the name, and you're trusting within the name. And through this process, I learned that it's not. There's owners, operators, franchisees, you know.
So you thought this was Hilton in charge of everything?
Yeah. I think that's something that has to be more recognizable, that when we go, it's not necessarily a Hilton or a Marriott or a Hyatt. It is somebody like, in my case, you know, an owner-operator situation.
Attorney and professor of hospitality law, Stephen Barth, has some tips for when you're staying at a hotel.
When we get to the hotel front desk, don't provide your name out loud. If the front desk agent calls your room number out loud, you need to request a different room. When you sign off on the guest check, if you're billing it to the room, hand that receipt with your information back to the server so that you know it's in the custody and control of the hotel and not some random person.
Please remember you can find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com. At the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day.